Thursday, June 28th, 11:45 a.m. Mr. Scott, are you on the line today?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any changes to the agenda? I am going to sneak in. We have some comments from our council liaison that we'll add to the end of the agenda. Nothing else. We'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our meeting minutes from June 14th, as well as bill payments in the amount of roughly $2.1 million. And Mr. Heron, anything on bill payments to point out?
No.
Thank you, Chair Matter. I do not have anything additional to point out. As usual, capitals are highlighted in yellow, but nothing unusual in the listing or capital projects.
Okay, I'd look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Discussion. Seeing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Matter?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. All right. Next up, we have recommendation for approval of the bid for electric power transformer, and we've got Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Chair Madden. So this is for our power plant substation relocation project. The budget for this is $5.35 million, so it's a very large project for us. We solicited bids and opened them for the transformer, which is the largest purchase on this project, on June 16th. We got three responses. The low bid was from Delta Star in the amount of $964,622. They are recommending a few spare parts, which we always buy when we purchase transformers, so the total comes up a little higher than that. Page two has the comparative or the other bids that were opened. They were all pretty competitive. The delivery time falls within our schedule. We do have a Delta Star transformer at our Southwest sub and don't have any issues with it, so I would concur with DGR's recommendation to award this purchase to Delta Star. Any questions?
If no questions, I would entertain a resolution for approval.
So moved. Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Bleek. Discussion.
Do we have any concern that it's coming out of Canada as opposed to the others coming in the United States?
We talked to the representative, manufacturer's representative, and he didn't have any issues with getting it through customs or anything like that. DGR has purchased transformers out of the Canada location too, and they didn't have any concerns.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Ms. Mathiasen, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have approval for the 2021 strategic plan. I don't know who's going to start. Mr. Marty's going to start us off on this one. Thank you.
I'll start. When it gets to hard questions, I'll defer.
Perfect.
So, what you have before you is the results of the strategic planning sessions that utility staff had with MRES. They helped us facilitate this project, and then we put this together and vetted out through the Labor Relations Committee, and this is the final product. So we'll jump into it quick here. Some of you have not seen this entire plan. So the first page is just the table of contents. Breaks down the components of the plan. We'll go right ahead to page three. This is a strategic planning summary. So what this is it kind of summarizes the key components of the plan, starting out, of course, with our mission statement and our core values. It outlines the long-range goals, and then a brief statement about each goal. We came up with basically a mini mission statement for each of the long-range goals, And then the key performance indicators breaks it down a little bit further. Those are the tasks that we need to complete to measure the success, basically. Moving on, the next three pages are the outline of the long-range goals. Eight goals were identified during the process, and then the key performance indicators were broken down for those goals and then outlined further down the steps to achieve. So the goals are the utility identity, reliable public power provider, communication, education, and outreach. On the next page, staff development and infrastructure, and then planning, technology, and new building. So what we did, if you'll go forward to the next page again, there's strategic priorities planning session for 2021. These list those eight goals and the strategic actions for each of those to meet our goals. It outlines the team that is responsible or most likely responsible for the work within the utility, and then it gives a general timeline of the projects and when the expected completion dates are for each of those components. And then we further broke it down, if you'll scroll ahead again. This is a one-year timeline, so we have our eight priorities on the side, and then broken down by every 4 months. These are specific items that will happen this first year to start moving those projects along. You can see that they're broken down by, for example, by July, the utility identity will research the logos, will generate Facebook posts and ideas with staff, and so on. And then the very last page is a 2 to 5 year timeline. Most of these strategic goals have a 4 to 5 year timeline window, and this breaks down as we look forward, like the question may come up, what's happening next year or in 2 years for this specific goal. This breaks that down a little further. Each year we'll update the plan, and then we'll take these items, for example, that are in the 2022, we'll move them into a more detailed and expanded 12-month layout, and then we'll ask the commission to approve that yearly. I will say that the utility staff really appreciated using MRAS as the to help facilitate the plan, kind of give us a fresh eyes approach on the project, and it also allowed, the way that we did the plan this year allowed for a lot of staff input, much more so than in the past with planning, doing strategic plans. We think that we had a lot of our staff really get involved with it this time around, and hopefully we'll embrace it and move it forward. Shout out to Chris. Chris did a lot of his background work and did a lot of the setup and getting the presentations ready to go, so he deserves a lot of credit for that as well. And I will take questions if you have them.
Any questions?
Well,
Commissioner Bowden.
Yeah, if I may ask, you know, this really looks beautiful, especially like I like the top design that you use as a new building. I'm hoping that's coming up by 2025. But quickly ask about new building. You know, I'm a little bit rusty because maybe I was out for quite some time. But the land swap, is that the land we already have, or can you give me a little bit, you know, understanding how the land swap with the city, we already have the land. That was an assumption.
What that's referring to is our adjacent, the properties that we own in this adjacent footprint. Yeah. We own, obviously, this property, the former liquor store and Taco John's property, and then would be the service center property and the storage yard, and then the property that runs along the railroad tracks that we use for storage right now. The conversations that we've had with the city is that they would, all of these properties are now included in the Renaissance Zone and have some incentives for people to use and reuse these properties, I guess, redevelop. So the thought conversation came up with the city that we would swap out, when we're ready to vacate these properties, what's left after we do the power plant substation and demolition project, we would have these, you know, properties remaining that we would turn around and swap for acreage, city-owned property that we could build on, rather than purchasing that property outright and then selling this property. If we did a land swap, this would turn these properties back over to city ownership, and then they would be available for those Renaissance Zone incentives for folks to redevelop them.
So is that guaranteed, or is this a possibility that the city might reject?
Say, it's like a conversation at this point. They've been very open to it, but we have not sat down and ironed out any details of yet.
Actually, Kevin, to expand on Commissioner Mabu's question, the city actually entertained that concept to us when they were developing the Heritage District. They have some property out in Industrial Park that hasn't been marketable per se. They've been sitting on it a while, and they had asked if we'd be interested in that property that they're talking about to some degree meets the criteria of what we're looking for a piece of property. But as Kevin said, there's nothing concrete. It's just a conversation, hypothetical at the time that they were setting up the Renaissance District, and we're willing to include our property here.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments?
I have a question. So strategic plans are wonderful. I love the way this is outlaid, especially the years to be able to hold ourselves accountable. Who's the keeper of it? So often strategic plans get put out there and they get put by the wayside. So do you have an ongoing meeting on this, or what's the follow-up?
We do. Actually, Chris and myself are kind of take the lead in mothering the plan, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
We have the date set forth. We do, typically we've done twice yearly updates to the commission. So it's our responsibility, I guess, to reach out to the supervisors on the 4-month intervals and say, you know, what's going on with these projects? Give us the updates. And then we'll put together a bi-year update and present to the commission so you know that we're keeping things moving forward.
Nice. But,
yep, that's all set up at the staff level.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'll add to that from a historical perspective for Commissioner Johnson and others, you know, staff has worked on a strategic plan for many years and does a good job of keeping it updated. This new version is a new look, a new style, and I think has a lot of the components that were missing in the past. And we've struggled a little bit with getting precisely what everybody wants, and I think this encompasses it very nicely. So thank you again to staff for all the work that you put forward on this.
And awesome.
It's come before labor a couple of times as well and back and forth. So you guys have put a lot into this. So other comments or questions? If not, I'd look for a resolution to adopt the plan as approved.
So moved. Second.
We have a resolution. Further discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiason, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mabul?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Matter?
Aye. That passes. Thank you again, everyone. All right, next up we have our 2021 education topics. We'll start with the energy acquisition adjustment update. Mr. Radell.
Thank you, Chair Madden. As you can see, today we're talking about the energy acquisition adjustment, or the EAA. This, for anyone who's not familiar, is a tool that we have, the WMU has, to adjust the rates for uncontrollable charges associated with power costs above what was assumed in the rate studies that was done in 2019. Like I said, in 2019, Dave Berg did a rate study for WMU for 5 years, and in 2021, the rate was set at $60 per megawatt hour. Now, in the past, WMU did have to implement an EAA, specifically in 2017, but has not issued one since then. And we, BMU typically sees an increased power supply cost during the summer months, which you'll see in the next graph as we go forward. This graph is the monthly EAA monthly position. So what you're seeing here is the blue bars are the monthly cost of megawatt hours that we purchase, the cost at which we pay for them. The gray bar is the year-to-date average, and the red line, or orange line, excuse me, is the $60 per megawatt hour average for the entire year. Now, from January to June, these prices are known. I should say specifically January to May, we know these prices. These are fixed. We have those all recorded. June to December are mostly assumed costs based on last year's usage and an increase in price as well from our contracts. Down to the bullet points, the cost of power, which is a graph that I present to the commission often, is a tool that we use to assess the need for issuing an EAA to customers, and is found by summating the three contracts that are constant, which are the GRE contract, the WIPI contract, and the WAPA contract, including the wind turbine production that we have, and the MRES contract, which can vary based on all of the consumption in the community. So other unforeseen events can affect or raise the cost of power, such as in Texas this year, that dramatically increased the cost of power, not necessarily for us, but for them. Of course, you heard about that. And if the cost of power this year goes above that $60 per megawatt hour, which was found from the rate study in 2019, then staff, by policy, implements an EAA to cover those costs. Based on the current year-to-date rolling average of $60 per megawatt hour, staff has determined that implementation of an EAA at this time is not required, but we'll be looking carefully because, as you can see in the graph, specifically in December, that gray bar graph gets to $60 per megawatt hour, and that is where the line is. So if we have an increased amount of cost, we may have to issue that EAA sometime during this period. This information is a little bit complicated. We have to pull it from a lot of different pieces. If you guys have any, if the commission has any questions, I'd be happy to answer anything.
Any questions? At this point, I know it's only projections for the second half of the year, but as it stands, we are not anticipating any EAA adjustments for the year.
That's correct. One thing with that I just want to mention is that this year's EAA projection is right at $60 per megawatt, so we're right at that assumed rate. Last year, we were a few dollars below the expected rate. Part of that is because there's a pretty large increase in our GRE contract for our schedule this year. It went up 8%, which is a pretty large number. So we'll have to see. But as of right now, yes, Chair Madden, you're correct. We don't see the need to issue an EAA.
Thank you.
Commissioner Manor, to expand on Chris's response there, when you look at June, July, and August, those are the months that, you know, we're well over that $60 per megawatt or 6 cents per kilowatt threshold. So those are the driving months for the EA, basically. And we'll continue to monitor those invoices as they come in. And if there is, you know, as Chris noted there, we would be implementing the EA. But hopefully we're very close to those targets. Each month when those invoices come in between Chris and Andrea, they go through them all and they identify what those costs are. So hopefully we can move through the summer here without having to implement. That's what would be the driver of that. Lagging. So if June comes in over what we have here, you would see the EAA in July. And the same applies for July, you would see it in August.
Other questions?
Do you, because I don't know what, the, I'm sorry. Is it, if you implement it, do you just implement it for the following month, or is it then through the rest of the year?
Well, we'll see how much that difference is, but we would probably do it for 1 month, issue the EAA for 1 month, unless we needed to go a little bit further into 2 months. So typically it's not a very long-term issuance.
Commissioner Johnson, to expand on that, yes. We typically try to monitor 1 month, but if it's an extremely large adjustment, we could spread it over two. But by city charter, it's supposed to be month by month.
Okay. Other questions?
We may be up again, rate study.
The next rate study?
Yeah. Is it good for 3 years or 5 years? I don't remember for the rate study. Rate studies.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Commissioner Mabel. No, that's an excellent question. The present rate study went out through 23. Our rate study is scheduled for 23 for implementation in 24. So the present rate study, our rates have been set for 21, 22, and 23. It was a four-year study that
study
time.
Study that, okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll be ready after that for another study, is that correct?
For another study?
Yeah, ready study?
The study will take place in 23 with implementation January 1st of 2024.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Chris, for that update.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mr. Herring, you've got the mid-year review update.
Thank you, Commissioner Matt. To expand a little bit more on rate study, you know, when I say it will be implemented, to Commissioner Mamou's question, once we get into budgets and when we start looking at our cost averaging and where our cash flows are, we'll have an indication if we will need rate increases or not, or what the magnitude of those increases may be. I mean, that's the reason that we do the budgets and why we have basically our capital plans go out 10 years so that we know and that we can bring in those very expensive projects, as you heard talk about, you know, our Wilmer Sub is, you know, an $8 million plus project, so that we are prepared financially for those projects. So more insight on our needs, you know, when I make this statement adjustment, you know, we know we're going to need one on the water side already. On the electric side, will that need for that will surface through that budget process. Yeah. So, all right, Commissioner Matter, no other questions. Move on to the goals. Mid-year, the commission asked that I bring forward a progress report on the goals that were set at the first of the year for the utility and myself to make sure that we're on track for completing those. And their status update, the far right column indicates where those projects are at. So with that, if everybody had a chance to look, I'll just entertain questions. If you would prefer that I go through each one, I can do that as well. But in summary, we're on track with the things that the commission directed us to move forward with.
Any questions from the commission? Appreciate the update and the fact that, I mean, obviously much of this is ongoing, but to be able to see in summary what's been happening so far, it looks good. So thank you for that, John.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the next agenda item then. We've got our schedule for the 2022 budget process. Ms. Precker.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. Yes, as you can see here, the 2022 budget schedule is already in progress. We have distributed the capital budget worksheets for staff to begin working on. O&M budgets will go out shortly, hoping to have them all completed by July 16th, so we can start meeting with staff and review those. We will be scheduling a planning committee review between that August 18th and September 3rd deadlines there, and hoping for a commission approval at September 13th.
Thank you. Any questions? Kind of got the process down pat. Seems early in the year, but so it goes, right? It's going by quick. Thank you, Andrea. All right, so at last meeting, we reluctantly accepted Commissioner Magnuson's resignation. He's heading slightly out of city limits, but just to be in the area and working in the area. So we aren't losing you entirely, but we're going to miss you at the commission. Commissioner Magnuson has served since 2017, January of 2017, 4.5 years you've served on the commission. You've been on both committees, the Labor Committee and Planning Committee, so we thank you for your service there and currently serving as our treasurer. So we appreciate your time and your commitment to the Rolling Utility Commission. And we do have a plaque. I'll let you read the... No, I'm kidding.
Nice.
And we can do a presentation and picture at the end, but
thank you.
Enjoy that. So we thank you for your time and your commitment to the Utility Commission. You'll be missed. So do you have any comments that you'd like to make?
Nope. Just, maybe a quick one. Just thanks for the opportunity to be on the commission. I've enjoyed it. And getting to meet a lot of different people I haven't met before and interacted with, and enjoyed my time here, and been beneficial to be on both committees.
That's good advice to leave for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we thank you for your service. So
thanks.
Appreciate that. This is, as I understand, your last official meeting with us.
It is.
Yep. All right. Any additional comments on that? We'll move on to the next agenda item, which is our general manager's report. Mr. Heron.
Thank you, Chair Matter. We have a planning committee coming up July 1st, so this week. This week's July already. Yeah. Okay, so that's coming up. The big topic there is basically our water treatment plant. We have 90% design in. It's coming with a significant increase in cost. I think I mentioned that in the past. There's about a 30% increase, and when we look at the breakdown where it comes from, basically all areas of products are increasing significantly. So we'll be talking about that a little bit at the meeting. But other than that, unless there's questions on what I have listed, I would like to add one additional comment on one additional item in addition to what we have listed there. So I'll open up to questions first for what we have listed. Otherwise, I'd like to give an update on the administrator hiring.
Any questions here?
John, any update or anything come out of the event at the block party?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it went well. Commissioner DeBleek, appreciate the question. A lot of individuals went through, a lot of good comments. We took part both in a block party, as you referred to it as well as the parade. Staff was more than willing to help out. They put in the extra time to do it. Chris, kudos to Chris. He headed it, organized it, took part in Wilmer Fest there. If there's a pulse from the commission on good, bad, or indifferent, we'd like to hear it. But feedback that we had a lot of people stop and a lot of questions, and so it was all good. And thank you to the commissioners that worked there as well. It's always appreciated at staff level and I think at community level for the commission to be involved and be part of that. So thank you.
I want to express my thanks to Chris Riddell again for all the work that you put into Wilmer Fest and the involvement of utilities. And if you could extend our gratitude on behalf of the commission to all staff that participated, we are grateful for that. So thank you. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Heron.
Thank you, Commissioner Matter. Last thing that's not listed there, I'd like to give the commission an update. You're probably all very well aware of the fact that the council offered the city administrator's job to Leslie Vallant, the city administrator over at Spicer. We had a council meeting this morning, and the council has signed off on the agreement with Spicer City Administrator Leslie Vallant. Leslie signed off on it on Friday, I believe it was Thursday. She signed off on it on Thursday afternoon when Patty with Baker Tilly presented it to her. So she signed off, commission approved it today, council approved it today, and she'll be starting on July 19th. So with that said, our agreement with the council for the utility services goes through the 12th, so there'd be one additional week there. So you may hear that on the agenda if the commission's supportive of it. They asked this morning if I would be willing, and I said I believe so, that the commission supports. So you'll probably see that additional week on the council agenda here at their next meeting. So, and And with that said, it's been a very enjoyable challenge there. Kudos to our staff here. You know, as I said before, the commission didn't only offer my services, but they offered staff services here because staff has been excellent here as well with picking up some of the additional tasks that I've leaned on them for. So a huge thank you to our staff here as well. So that would conclude my update. Thank you.
Any final questions for Mr. Heron on that? Okay, thank you for that, John. And then Mr. O'Brien, you had a few comments you'd like to make.
Yeah, I just wanted to, on behalf of the City Council and the City of Moore, thank the Commission and the staff for letting us, I don't know if the right word is borrow. Just a godsend. I mean, just the attitude that I saw, the change that I saw since he's been here, has just been amazing. I mean, when you see it, you call it like it is, right? And so we thank you so much, and we hope that we can get you for a couple more days. But we are very excited about Ms. Bond coming on board and getting some structure, getting some things done. But couldn't have been done without you, Mr. Heron. We just thank you so much, and all of you for letting us have it. So that's really all I got to say. But again, we just can't tell you how much we appreciated that move.
Thank you for those comments, Councilman O'Brien. We appreciate that. And again, our continued gratitude to all staff for stepping in to help as you've been adding extra hours over there and the work that they've had to put in here to help make that work. So we want to recognize them for that. All right, any other business to come before the commission today? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion to adjourn. This meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.